I brought today a candy cane. And a candy cane is not just candy, but it's kind of considered like the candy of Christmas. And you see these all over the place. You'll see these not just with people eating them as candy, but you'll see them as decorations. Some people will put them on trees. And I believe we even have some decorations out in the fellowship hall that has a bunch of these little candy canes on there. So it's a part of Christmas. And the neat thing is, if you take a look at this, you know, what does that look like? What letter of the alphabet? A J. And J stands for Jesus. And that reminds us that he was born on Christmas Day, on December 25th. So that's part of the Christmas tradition. If you turn it over, now this kind of looks like a shepherd's crook. And Jesus was a shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd of people. And he led people. And he made sure that people, and he still does that today, that we don't go astray, that we don't wander off, that we try to stay close to God and have God in our hearts. Then if you look at the color is mainly white, and that stands for purity. And that's through Jesus Christ that we are pure, that he was crucified, he died and was buried, and that was to take away all of our sins so that we can be pure. And then on the red stripes reminds us that just before Jesus died and was crucified, he was actually whipped. And he had these blood red stripes on his back from that whip. And then those red stripes kind of remind us that Jesus paid his life for us. And so as we look at the candy cane, yes, we think of it as being candy, but we also take a look at the true meaning of Christmas can be found in many different ways. And with this, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who keeps us from harm. We thank you that because of his suffering and death on the cross, we have life everlasting. Help us to remember that we find the true meaning of Christmas in him. In this we pray. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Before I begin, I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to you for allowing me to share some thoughts with you. I'd like to say thank you to Lindy and Desiree and Joe for helping out in preparing the service, for the medleys, for doing the candle, and for Dawson playing a very fitting hymn at the end. My message today will hopefully be relevant and relatable,
But keep in mind that my limited knowledge of the Bible does not allow me to preach from the Bible, but to use it as a reference as I speak. Also, these words and ideas are not all my own. I look for ideas from the upper room, from our daily bread, things that I see in newspapers, magazines, and yes, sometimes even on the internet. And I find things that are interesting to me that I'd like to share and hope that you also will find them interesting. And when you leave today, I hope you will think about some of the things that I said as you go through the week and reflect on them. Because as we look around our world today, once again, our world celebrates Christmas in the midst of crises. And crises so deep that millions of people are uncertain that they'll even survive at the end of this decade. But if we go back first, we go back over 200 years. It was on Christmas Eve in Oberndorf, Austria. There was a pastor, the Reverend Joseph Moore. He was an assistant pastor at the St. Nicholas Church, and he was troubled. As the story goes, mice had eaten into the bellows of the old church organ. And there was going to be no music at the Christmas Eve service. So Moore sat down and quickly wrote a poem of 6 stanzas, celebrating the glory of the birth of Jesus Christ. He brought that poem to a friend of his, Franz Gruber, and requested that the musician set his words to music. And that night, both Gruber and Moore sang their melody, little dreaming that this song would go around the world and become possibly the greatest Christmas carol of all time, Silent Night, Holy. But much of our world is not silent. A lot of it is not holy. It's a world of political, economic, and social turmoil, standing on the brink of failure, fighting, possibly even war. There's one word that seems to describe our world and our mood today. It's fear. It seems like every day the headlines scream of some new crisis in our world that threatens to plunge us into chaos. Just as real and just as tragic are the personal crises that never make the headlines. Marriage that's falling apart, the heartache of a broken relationship, the despair of a lost job, the threat of an illness, or the slavery of a drug or alcohol problem that seems to be unbreakable. But Jesus spoke of a time when men's hearts would fail them for fear. We seem to be living in such a time as that today. Silent night, holy night seems to be a romantic dream or maybe even a false hope that vanishes in the face of the realities of life. But there can be peace in our hearts when we turn to the only true source of peace, and that is Jesus Christ. Think back to that first Christmas about 2,000 years ago. It was probably late at night on the plains, just a few miles outside of the village of Bethlehem. And the stars shone like diamonds in the sky. There was a little band of weary shepherds that had settled down to sleep on a cold, rocky ground. And they had no reason to expect that this night would be different from any other night. Just like you may think nothing is going to change in your own life. God had other plans. This was the night that would be the most important night in human history. The night when God himself would come to earth. Listen to Luke's account of that remarkable night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Can you imagine the fear that must have gripped the shepherds' hearts? One translation says that they were terrified. But the first words of the angels to those shepherds were, Fear not. Fear not, because Christ has come and he makes a difference. And because Christ has come, you need not be bound by fear and despair. You can know that all is calm and all is bright because of Christ. Four times in the gospel accounts of Christmas, the angels use that expression, fear not. Zechariah, an old man, was filled with fear when he was told that he would be the father of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. The angel told him, Fear not. Mary was told that she would have the awesome privilege of bearing the Son of God, and fear filled her at first. But the angel said, Fear not, Mary. Joseph, betrothed to the Virgin Mary, was filled with fear and embarrassment when he discovered that she was pregnant. The angel declared, Fear not, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Then, as we have already read, when the Holy Child was born, the angel came to those shepherds and said, Fear not. And that is what God says to us today. No matter what our fear may be, he says to us right now, Fear not. Fear not, because Christ has come. Now, there are, of course, a lot of different fears. Not all fear is necessarily wrong either. It's right for a child to fear a hot stove or a sharp knife, because those things can cause harm. It is right for us also to fear Satan and sin, for they can bring devastation. The Bible also tells us to fear God. Now, that does not mean that we're to be in terror of him, shrinking from him, or even fleeing from him, although we should fear his judgment. But it does mean that we're to have a reverence and a respect for him, knowing that he is holy and all-powerful. And the angels tell us, fear not. Why? Because there is no longer any reason to be crippled and enslaved by fear. Think of the fears that so easily assault us. There is the fear of problems we face and what might happen to us in our personal life and our jobs. Jesus declared, In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I will overcome the world. He invites you today to bring your cares and your burdens to him. He said, Come to me, all you who labor are heavily stricken and laden, and I will give you rest. There is the fear of loneliness, but you're never alone when you know Christ. He has promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You were created for fellowship with God. And when you come to Christ, He makes you a child of God. You have a special relationship with Him. Nothing can take that away. Because Christ made it possible through His death on the cross. Then there's the fear of death. There was another time in the Bible when the angel came and said, "Fear not." It was spoken to the women who came to the tomb of Jesus early on that first Easter morning and discovered that the tomb was empty. "Fear not. He is not here, for He has risen." Christ is the answer to death. By His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, He took away the sting of death. He took away our sins by dying on the cross in our place. And by putting your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior, you can know the joy of forgiveness and peace with God. Christmas was just the beginning. Ahead was the cross, and beyond the cross was the empty tomb. And Christ has come to take away all of our fears. Fears are real. Christ does not tell us that we should simply cheer up and they'll all go away. It is right to fear death if we do not know Christ. It's right to fear loneliness or the problems that seem to overwhelm us, because those things are real. So is Christ. And when we realize that He has dealt with sin and made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, then we do not need to be paralyzed by fear any longer. Instead, we should do what the shepherds did. Come to Christ. Come to Him with our sins and cast them at His feet, then we can know silent night, holy night. We can know what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes all understanding. Jesus promised, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not be your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christmas tells us what it cost God to save the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Christ is God's great Christmas gift to the world. The Scripture says, in 2 Corinthians, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." However, the hope that was given to those shepherds on that first Christmas morning is available only to those who believe. And to know the pardon, the joy, the peace, and power that come through Christ, we must personally receive Him by faith. And that faith must be real if the heart is to be changed. There are many of us who long for peace in our own hearts this Christmas time. And we too can meet God at the foot of the cross and find the peace that we have searched for so long. You say, "What do I have to do?" Well, what we have to do is we have to turn from our sins. We have to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior and commit our life to Him. He will come into our hearts. And this Christmas, you can spend knowing the Christ of Christmas for the first time. Whatever your needs, Jesus can meet it. Whatever the desires and longings of your heart, Christ can touch your life and transform you and make you a new person. And I ask you to make that commitment and decision even today, if you've not done so. What a wonderful time of the year to say yes to Jesus Christ and let Him change your life. That's the true meaning of Christmas.